first reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 to 10, and can be found on page 182 of the Pew Bible. See, I have taught you decrees and laws, as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children.'" The second reading this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, and can be found on page 1233 of the Pew Bible. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Eternal God, as we have read your word and as we come now to reflect upon it, grant us the help of your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear what you are saying to us, and help us to respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. In Roman mythology, there was a god called Janus, and he was depicted as having two faces, one looking back and one simultaneously looking forward. I'm going to put a picture of it on the screen so you can get a picture of it. It's where we get the name January, first month in the church calendar. He was regarded, as the Romans, as being the god of beginnings and endings. For us as followers of Jesus, we know that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. And we read that in Revelation, and we have another image on the screen to come forward. That's where we get it. It's the first two letters of the Greek alphabet, So it describes Jesus as the beginning and the end. And if you want to creak your neck, we have the images of Alpha and Omega on the banners at the back of the church. And those are always there. Sometimes things become so familiar to us in our surroundings that we don't see what's there. But we deliberately have those. And I guess the theology that sits there about why we have them as we leave church is to remind us that Jesus is the beginning and the end and is through all history. That wonderful passage in Colossians, which I really love, which is my favorite passage, is that everything in creation was through Jesus and for Jesus. And everything in creation finds its goal, its purpose in Jesus. So Jesus is the beginning and the end. So it's appropriate for us on Church Anniversary Sunday to be looking back, remembering the past, but also to be looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us and how God is at work in our midst. So first of all, remembering the past. As we look back, we remember that we are part of a church family that began here in 1884. But that we're also part of the worldwide family of the church. And actually, further in history as God's people. But I want us to think for a moment on these words that Moses gave in Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. We were to have the dedication this morning of little Elias Ewart, but with family, with coronavirus, family weren't wanting to travel, so we've put that back to another time. But again, it would have been a good reminder for us again for how children are so important in our church family as we convey to them, as we model that Christian faith, as we teach them that Christian faith. But Moses provided his people with what we may call practices of memory. As I read around this passage, I came across that term, which I thought was a lovely term, practices of memory. These are intentional, deliberate patterns of behavior that reminded God's people of their story. Building these activities into the rhythms of their life as God's people gave them ongoing, regular opportunities to stop and to remember. Moses made the memory connection explicit as he charged them to teach their children, proclaim their faith, observe the Sabbath, give thanks for their blessings, confess their sins, celebrate the Passover, tithe, to act with justice and compassion towards employees, immigrants, and orphans, and the poor. And doing these things reminded the people of God of their story and how they were part of this story. All of this was designed to help the people of God remember that it was the Lord who rescued them, who provided for them, who had established this covenantal relationship with them. And we do the same in church. Observing the liturgical calendar is one way of helpfully reminding us of those aspects of our Christian story and tradition. From Advent to Christmas to Lent to Good Friday to Easter to Pentecost to the Ascension, all of those things help remind us. It's a story we know well, but when we observe it through the year, it reminds us of that story of who Jesus was and is and our place within that story. Now, I'm well aware that not all Christians observe such rhythms in the church calendar. But all Christians do observe the Lord's Supper. And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, take this and eat it, and do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine, he gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. That's our way as Christians of remembering. Of reminding ourselves that we are part of this story of being in Christ. So the church calendar, and especially Holy Communion, reminds us of our past and the one whom we worship, whom we follow, whom we serve. But at a local level, it's also important for us to pause and remember those who have worshipped and served here down throughout the years, those who have gone to glory and those whom we still miss dreadfully. We remember with gratitude how they have left an incredible legacy for us today of self-sacrificial love. And we pause and give thanks to God for them. Over 2,000 years ago, a young Greek artist named Timanthes studied under a respected tutor. And after several years, the teacher's efforts seemed to have paid off when Timanthes painted an exquisite work of art. And he was so amazed by his own talent that the story goes that he spent several days gazing on this work of art, amazed by his own workmanship. After a while, he left. And he came back the next morning to find that someone had painted over this exquisite piece of art. And he was distraught and angry. And he went to his teacher with this. And his teacher said, well, actually, I painted over your work of art. Because that painting was hindering your progress, he said. Start again and see if you can do any better. Well, Timanthes took the teacher's advice and he produced one of the most incredible works of antiquity, the sacrifice of Iphigenia. And today we remember our past. We celebrate our past, but we cannot live in our past. We can never do that. And so we've got to look forward as well. Some of us are glass half full kind of people, and some of us are glass half empty kind of people. I'm definitely the former. Some of us naturally are more positive, and some of us are naturally more negative. There's no right and wrong in this. It's just how God has wired us. But we do see things differently at times. It's also true when it comes to the kingdom of God and the work in the life of the church. The future, our future, I believe, is in the hands of the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. The one who calls us to worship him, follow him, and serve him. And as a congregation, I want to encourage you in your own faith. So many people lovingly give of their time and energy and resources in serving the Lord and seeking to build for the kingdom of God. Our coffee kindness, our prayer walks, our uniformed organizations, our messy church, all of these are different ways, and so many other ways are ways of trying to connect with those in our community with the good news of Jesus Christ. The care offered from our pastoral visitors is essential as we seek to care for those who are housebound and in care homes. And I know that pastoral care happens informally as you support and care for each other. Our prayer network is a source of encouragement for many people in times of trouble. I know so many people, you might have heard from others as well, who have said how encouraged they are to know, even if they don't share our Christian faith, they are pleased to know that many people are praying for them, maybe through their illness or difficult times. Some people I know are tempted to disappointment, sometimes even despair, when we see numbers being less than what they used to be. We could be tempted to lament about the lack of numbers maybe in our GB or Scouts or Kids Zone or Focus than what there used to be. But here's something of note. We have contact with lots of children and young people, and we seek to be a godly influence on them. When some people got together at Christmas time to write Christmas cards for all those children and young people connected with our church family, do you know how many Christmas cards were sent out? 251. 251. We have a great mission field, a great opportunity to convey the love of God in Christ to so many young people and children. During the year, we've lost Sammy as our youth worker as he went back into teaching full time. We're now losing Emma Jane as our community and family worker, and we honour them with our sincere and heartfelt gratitude. In a week tomorrow, as the church council will hopefully continue to meet, we will be discussing the best way forward to a new post working with young people and children. And of course, in the present, the vestibule is being refurbished. Again, I want to say thanks to all those who have given lovingly and sacrificially to this. What you give to this building work, you give not only for yourselves, but you give for others, and you give for those who are to come. When you read the history of this church, it's a wonderful insight as to what has gone on in the past and how it relates to us in the present. In Sydenham, the first mission hall was built in 1883, with the first service being held on Friday the 21st of March 1884, which is why we have Church Anniversary Sunday near that day. During the time of World War II, there were plans to investigate purchasing land on the Hollywood Road at which the new church would be built. This is now where Strand Court now is. I was going to crack the joke that Doreen lives where the pulpit was going to be, but she's not here this morning. But that fell through. Actually, history records that permission was not given to build a church on that land. So in 1950, three Nissen huts were erected. Then in 1954, it was agreed to build a new church on the site of the tennis courts in the grounds of this church. In 1993, the church was extended to what we have as the vestibule area and tailor room. And in 1996, it was agreed to refurbish the Ferguson Hall and to replace the Watson Hall, and then to be joined together with a common entrance hall. A gift day was held for the building work on Harvest Sunday, October 1996, and £32,000 was raised. Like all congregations, down throughout the years, people have given to the work of God so lovingly and so faithfully. And we are the recipients of that sacrificial giving. And now is our task to give faithfully and lovingly to the work before us that will impact the mission of God in the present and in the future. This is all part of investing for the kingdom of God. So in this church anniversary, we remember our past, but we look also to the future. We remember God and God's people by observing the rhythm of the church calendar, and especially when celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And we look to the future, trusting in God's faithfulness and in His Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us as we seek to build on the work of others in building for the kingdom of God. Amen.